Okay, it's recording in progress. So welcome back to Basic Training, a podcast for people that need help, and a podcast for Kelly Williams and me. If you don't know Kelly, she is the co-host of Beyond the Blinds, which is one of the big, should we call it blind? Should we call it pop culture? What would you categorize it as?
I think it's both. I think we have commentary on blind items. We don't write any blinds. We just read them, kind of try and give some context, give our thoughts. And then, of course, we have like our pop culture episodes too.
Right. And you do your stoner series where you just get high and answer questions, which I love.
That's my favorite.
Your Patreon is one of the best investments I've ever made. I feel like I've never been more educated in my life. I think I've gotten more from your Patreon than I did from all 4 years of college. But that's just because I like didn't do any of my reading in college and cheated a lot. But I learn a lot from your Patreon, and you are just an expert. I know that a lot of people will assume that because of the guests I've had on recently, that I am just kind of a pop culture gossip, celeb gossip junkie. And to that, I say, you're right, slut. It's true. I really like to hear the tea. And just in case Kelly and I go off the rails, which I think we tend to do, everything from here has been opinions, and everything from here on out is alleged.
That's hell
just for
yeah.
reasons. But no, seriously, you got to go listen to Kelly's podcast with Troy McGeady, and they talk about literally everything under the sun. The shit I've learned, allegedly, is the coolest, most insane shit I've ever learned from any podcast, besides what I've been learning recently, which is what I want to talk to you about. Have you seen The Jinx?
The Jinx?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Shut up.
The you Jinx? Haven't? What's that about?
I would think I was literally saved this topic because I thought that you of all people would know The Jinx, the Robert Durst story.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Come on. You know this.
Listen, I'm sorry. My brand of celebrity is like CW stars. Those are who I love. Those are who, you know, Robert Durst. What a terrible piece of shit.
I just sound so fucked up. I thought that I was crazy, but then I called my mom and realized that she agreed with me. And that's how I know I'm really crazy, because my mom is insane. Okay. I was watching this documentary again. I've seen it a couple times, but I was just like, I just got into like a phase of it the past couple weeks. And it's like all I can talk about. I think because The Jinx Part 2 is coming out. And if you don't know, this guy murdered multiple people. He's like actually evil, pure evil incarnate. But he's in this documentary series. He does interviews. He is present, and he like forms relationships with the docuseries people. So you kind of feel like you get to know him. And personality wise, I find him to be extremely likable.
Don't you hate that?
Isn't that so shitty? Like, I find him to be very charismatic and interesting to listen to. I guess that's why the movie was made. But people who are like, how did he find all these friends and wives who like wanted to spend time with him? I'm like, I get it.
Because he's a like psychopath who just mimics people around him. And he's like, you know what? Everyone's going to love me, and then I'm going to kill them.
Yeah, he's a fucking goblin. He's so scary. And like, there's just this gross little guy who's like, my mommy, I miss her so much. She did a long, long fall in Westchester and she died. If you've seen the show, that was a perfect impersonation, by the way. But I just find him to be like, look, he's got millions of dollars. Not only does he have it, but unlike a lot of boring rich people, he enjoys it. That while he was evading the police, he was literally on the run, but like going to Madrid and going to all these places. He had a couple wives. He had beautiful homes. And I just, the way that he told his stories, he's a nut. But I was like, if I were volunteering at like an old folks home, you're the one I'd gravitate towards. You're the one I'd want to have lunch with, because you're just weird and fun to talk to. So I totally get why they formed this relationship with him.
I mean, totally. So I worked with Alzheimer's residents for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And there was one, she was a part of like a mafia family in Boston. And me and her clicked. She had Alzheimer's, you know, right. But she thought I was part of like the mob and would like give me the keys to her apartment and ask me to hide things for her. And I was like, me and her are like homies. Like, this is so fun.
Also, it's like, you're old. What? Like, come on. I might as well. Like, I just feel like, I don't know. I don't see why it's fucked up for me to say that Robert Durst, personality wise, is somewhat likable and charismatic. And I get why he had wives and friends. But then I can't say that. I can say that about Tony Soprano, though. And that's totally fine. I can be like, Tony Soprano is like charismatic and likable and frankly hot. And it's like weird, but I can't say that about Robert Durst. Sorry. Robert Durst isn't hot, by the way. And he's also evil. But
Talia, I don't know if you know this. One's fictional, one's real, and one's fake. So I think it's okay to, like, people love that show Dexter, right? And he's like a serial killer, but you can't be like, oh my God, I love Ted Bundy.
Never say that I love Robert Durst. He's crazy. I'm saying that there's a lot of the commentary I read online and stuff is like, why is this guy, he's just so creepy and gross. Why would the director explains this weird phenomenon towards the end that he felt with the crew where like he was going to present him with this evidence and kind of entrap him because they kind of found proof that he like did it. And he says like, I just can't get over how cold this is going to feel to him. And people were like, what the fuck is he talking about? He's a murderer. And it's like, yeah, he is a murderer. But it's like, I get why he formed this relationship. This guy is weird and interesting and funny. And like, I just kind of get it.
All I can say is thank God you leaned into comedy and not like psychology, because someone would be like laying on your couch or whatever and be like, you know, I just have these thoughts. You'd be like, you know what? There's something about you. I don't know what it
is. You know... I thank God I leaned into like comedy as well, but I think I didn't lean far enough into comedy. I think that I could get away with so much more of my raw and honest thoughts, and I would be funnier if I had gone for a certain genre. And I honestly think that like when I listen to like who's a comedian, like Mark Normand or something, I don't know, that guy will get on there and just be joking about like haha, AIDS, and that's the punchline, whereas I'm sitting here like mincing my words to make sure that nobody cancels me. And it's like, I wish I had just cultivated an audience that was a little bit more normal. I don't know.
I mean, I get it. But like, the thing is, that's why he like lived the life he lived. Obviously, if he was right. a creep, people wouldn't want to marry him and hang out with him and be friends with him. Like, back to Ted Bundy, he was a charming dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's okay to say. You're not saying that like it's good, but
no, it's disgusting. I'm glad he's dead. I wish he died a more violent death, but here's what I wouldn't do. There are some freaks who were like in the courtroom for Ted Bundy, like waiting for him to come out and ask him on a date. That's crazy. You're crazy.
No, I remember even with like Aaron Hernandez, you know, I'm from Massachusetts. I remember like people with his jersey outside the court. I'm like, this is the one you want to be like, nah, he's the guy. He's my man. I got to stand up for him.
Maybe you should actually like touch grass, get a life. Those are the people who need touch grass the most. And the people who like waited for Johnny Depp outside the courthouse. Oh, like, he's my Captain Jack Sparrow.
Like, you can have him.
You can have him. And also you can rot. Honestly, you're crazy. Speaking of you being from Massachusetts, one of my favorite anecdotes about you is how much time in your life you've spent by Plymouth Rock.
A lot. Like most of it. Most of my life has been within like a 30-mile radius of Plymouth Rock.
I mean, I get like random pictures of you just sitting like pointing at the rock every time you're like, hey guys, here's a Snapchat of the rock. It's really not big, is it?
No, it's very small. And the reason it's small, I hate that I know this. The reason it's small and now it's in like this cage thing that you can't go down, it's because people used to go down and like chisel pieces off of it to say they got a piece of the Plymouth Rock. So they had to make it safe. They said, no more pieces for you.
One day, isn't it going to be like gone? It'll be eroded, won't it?
No, they'll just replace it.
Yeah, they'll put it. There's no way that's the rock.
Well, okay, you want some history? I'm going to give everyone a history lesson. The Pilgrims actually landed in Cape Cod, like in P-Town area, but they couldn't farm because there was so much sand. So they kind of just went up the coast until they hit Plymouth and found like soil they could farm with.
Wow. The more you know. Are you telling me that one of the first towns discovered by the foreigners, the colonizers in this land, was the gayest town ever?
Yeah, I think so. Well, wow. Jamestown was like the first settlement, and that's in Virginia. Yeah, is that too much? Right. This isn't a history podcast.
Yeah, shut up. Why are you trying? You just came on here to make me look stupid, and then you're going to leave. That's okay.
Exactly. I came with my Bob in a mission.
Would yours qualify as a fuck-ass Bob?
Oh, it has to.
How long have you had a Bob?
Since birth.
You came out like Edna Mode, like a little baby with a Bob.
The only time I didn't have a Bob was during COVID when I, like, there was a point where I was gonna cut my hair myself, but I held strong and it got down to like a little below my shoulders, which is the longest it's ever been.
That's long. I'm on a hair growth journey right now. And I had to do a brand deal with this company, Vegamore, which I was like excited. I think it's really working personally, but I said in the video, like, it's always nice when brands contact you, like, hey, we like to work with you. We love your content. We think you love our product. Until it's growth. Oh yeah, you wouldn't know it. My bad. Like, hey, we really liked what you allegedly said about Selena Gomez being on heroin. Do you want to advertise our product?
Be like, I don't think that's right. Thank you.
No, but it's always really flattering until it's this company that's for balding people hitting you up like, hey, we think you would love our serum. Can we send you some? And I was like, cool. That feels good. No, but it's nice. It's always nice to have a brand deal. But wait, okay. I want to ask you the question. This is kind of my favorite thing to talk about, but with you specifically, and this is one that I ask all my guests now. Is there a specific narrative in the contemporary pop culture world, in the media? A relationship, a story, a rumor that you are A, extremely sick of, and B, literally can't get enough of. So like me and Robert Durst.
I don't know. I have a really weird one that people are going to be like, what? But it's Ryan Phillippe. Everything about that man like interests me. And like, he fell off so hard. He has like so many things that have allegedly gone on in the background. And like, now he's sober and living in like Dewey Beach, Delaware. I'm like, how do you go from Cruel Intentions Ryan Phillippe and being married to like Reese Witherspoon to like Dewey Beach Ryan Phillippe? And I think about it a lot. Nobody talks about it, but for me personally.
No, that's a really good one. People forget about him unless they're like rewatching Gilmore Girls and they get to the part. Or no, is it Gilmore Girls or Girls? It's at Girls where they get to the part where they're arguing about if it's Phillippe or Felipe. Yeah, that's like the once a year that I always am like, oh yeah, I forgot about that guy. So when did the podcast idea strike you?
So I started my first solo podcast 2019. I'm like, how old was I? 28, I think. And that's when I started like Nostalgia and Now. Right. And that's where I kind of learned how to podcast. I taught myself how to edit, taught myself how to record, like reached out to people, tried to figure out how to have guests on the show. And then 2021 is when we started Beyond the Blinds.
And it blew up. Did it blow up quickly?
I would say probably within, no, it did, because we started it in July. And then by September, we had live show dates for January.
Damn.
Yeah. And Troy and I worked really hard on it. You know, it's funny. I like called him one night and we came up with the idea and recorded the following day. Then just like put the episodes out. We kind of didn't give ourselves like time to think. And like our early episodes, I can't even imagine what they're like.
I think that that is what makes a successful podcast, especially like, or like TikTok or a YouTube channel, things like that. I feel people try to pour a lot of money, time, production effort into creating something that really is best done organically and out of just total, I don't know, spontaneity. Like that's how they're supposed to be. And I think that that's part of the reason that this podcast did not blow up. Like, I think that you try to replicate, I don't know what's a good example. You're a great example. Call Her Daddy is the first thing that comes to mind. It's like, would that have been the same if two girls didn't sit down with a mic and put out some shitty episode that was just them talking like friends to find their people? That's probably how they first started finding their people who were their most loyal and true fans and who blew it up for them. Like, I don't know. I'm sure if you went back and listened to those episodes, you would be somewhat like, you would get how you got here from those.
Totally. And when I started Laguna Beach, like it was 2017 before like influencers were a thing. And I saw this trend. I've always tried to play it down, but I'm like, no, I'm a weirdo. And I need to not like weird Jughead from Riverdale. I just rewatched some of that. Anyway, it's like
Riverdale.
I had to for our episode. But I just saw this trend of social media happening and I had like this WordPress blog that I loved called Celebrities Are Tragic. So that's when I started doing like celebrity stuff. And then I was like, I could make a One Tree Hill fan page but nobody talks about Laguna Beach. So why don't I make a Laguna Beach? And then I asked my friend, like, is Laguna Beach funny? Is that a funny name? And she was like, yeah. And at first I didn't tell any of my friends about it. I wouldn't talk about it. But once I started talking about it, it just like, I really owned it. I was able to make it a career.
Damn, girl.
Yeah. And a great career it became. Laguna Beach, for the record, is still funny all these years later. It's my favorite thing. And I always get a little joy when I see it pop up. I'm like, oh, I'm going to find out some tea, or she's just posting some like drunk shit. But you're my favorite.
6 months no alcohol.
Oh my God. Shut up.
Yeah.
Congrats, girl.
Thank you.
I didn't know you were on that kick.
Yeah. I just, you know what? When you're in your 20s, I'll say that it's like, oh, I can get wasted. I can outdrink anyone. You know, I can out party. And then you're like 31 doing it. And it's kind of like, and like, I've never been able to control my drinking, as you know. You've seen me
out. I've seen I mean, I can't say I don't miss her.
Believe me, she's still there.
Okay, good. I feel like I just see you post, like, you know, you're always having fun, you're fucking around online, and I didn't occur to me, I'm sure I've heard on the Patreon that you're not drinking right now, but I was like, you seem, maybe it's just your personality, you seem drunk, girl.
Yeah, I give off drunk.
You do give drunk. Another thing about Kelly that some of you guys may not know, is that she is a part of the LGBTQ+ community. And she just said one of the funniest things I've ever heard, which was, we were talking shit about people. And she goes, well, just to be fair, they're like my least favorite category of gay. And can you expound upon that?
I'm going to sound homophobic.
You can't be homophobic. You're gay.
I will say there's like a certain, like, it's like the rambly anxiety, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, it just, it's a lot for me. And I just need someone to be able to like focus and like have a conversation. And instead of, I can't, right now I'm being that gay. But
no, I don't think you are. I'm not trying gay, to say, but I'm straight. If I were gay, that's also the gay I would be.
There are also like gay men who just hate lesbians, like just straight up hate them. And I'm like, all right, like, I'm really not going for anyone you want. So I don't know why this has to be a thing.
Well, I would say the gay men that hate not just lesbians, but women, it's a lot more obvious than they think it is to me.
I completely agree.
I can always see it.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I'm sure being in the same spaces as them more often, you see it as well. But what like category of gay would you consider yourself?
Troy always says that, like, if I was in Blind Items or something, I'd be hanging with like Cara Delevingne.
Yes, you would. But here's one thing about that. Well, I guess she doesn't really hang out with Taylor anymore, but I was just listening to, this is another person I'm obsessed with, is What I Will Say.
Yes, Pam.
I feel crazy when I'm listening to her, because I'm like, am I a psychopath? This is a lot. Like, this is a quite a deep dive, but it's like, I'm not going to do it. And I have a 30-minute train ride, so I might as well, you know? Uh-huh. But if you don't know about this person, they do like crazy deep dives about Taylor Swift, allegedly Gaylor Swift, stuff like that, relationships, theorizing about that. And she was talking about Cara Delevingne and how they used to be kind of in the squad together.
And they're still best friends.
Are they really?
Yeah. I mean, if you looked at like whenever Taylor was at those Chiefs games, Cara Delevingne's lurking. She's in that box with Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but Taylor must have people that are like, you have to stay 5 feet behind. You can't be in all the photos, because I feel like she is a little messy. Like, she gives Taylor a bad rap. And Taylor's like, you're fun, but like, it's kind of like me right now with my influencer friends. They're like, you're fun, but you're not getting in our selfie. I can't be around. I think that she was talking about like the girl squad. Remember when like it was like Carly, her, all the pretty girls? She was talking about, I would want to be in that squad. Or was it Genevieve who was talking, my last guest? I would not want to be in that squad. I would get so mean. Like, I'd be like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just a group of people that I'd be like, my honest friend side would come out, and I'd be kind of a dick. I'd be like, why are you guys still complaining? You're all skinny. Shut up.
Yeah. I would like to be friends with someone who's in that group, so I could be like 1 degree away.
Yeah. But when I see her like out walking with Haim and like Blake Lively, I'm like, oh yeah, we get it. Like, that's so misogynistic of me. But I'm like, you have a girl squad. You're a girl's girl. You're all so beautiful. Shut up. You're all sitting around unfollowing Joe Alwyn at the same time. Get a life.
Joe Alwyn needs a job. Leave him alone. Like, let him be. Like, let Joe Alwyn live.
I know. Get a life, Taylor Swift. leave Joe Alwyn alone. He's busy. No. I feel really bad for Joe Alwyn. Anyone who treated her like shit, I feel like you should have known. You should have said no, and you should have known. But, like, it can't be easy when before we even knew anything, she hadn't hinted about songs or breaking up or whatever. But when the breakup was announced, it became like, fuck Joe Alwyn online. And it's like, that's hard, you know?
I just wish people could be normal online, like, in general, over everything. Like, not everything has to have this visceral reaction. Sometimes you can just not like something.
I know.
And I'm telling that to you, who's like, Robert Durst.
I'm
like,
starting a Robert Durst fan page tomorrow, actually. It's going to be called Laguna Biatch Durst. So somebody's going to clip that and they're going to use it against me. I have to be very careful with my words. Trust me, I wish that people could be normal on the internet too. I don't know. People are crazy, in my opinion.
No, I agree with you. And I think with, like, creators, we're very much, like, online. We're very much in people's, like, phones, in their ears, if they're listening on their podcast. And we're not celebrities, right? So we don't have, like, this built-in PR system that, number one, makes sure that we don't read those comments. And number two, they don't know that, like, say, like, Taylor Swift, we know her story. She grew up on a Christmas tree farm in Pennsylvania. You know, we don't have people who are like, oh, Kelly lived in a 2-bedroom apartment with her mom and her mom worked 2 jobs, right? Because I grew up in a town called Hanover, which is affluent. So people are automatically like, no, that's not true. When, like, why would I lie about that?
Right. No, people Google you once. And I also think that being, like, an influencer, creator, whatever, means essentially playing yourself as the role. Like, you're coming out as yourself. And when people talk about other types of celebrities, bigger celebrities, say Sydney Sweeney, you know, you're talking about her, you're making assumptions about her, or even if you're just a fan of hers, the way that you would approach them in the street or something, you say, I'm a big fan of your work. I'm a big fan of the roles that you inhabit for temporary periods of time and on screen, you know? Whereas, like, for me, when they're talking about me, whether it be good or bad, you're addressing my character. It's like completely me, you know? And you forget that I don't tell everything, but also that, I don't know, I'm playing myself. Like, I don't have, and we make very, I don't know, I can't speak for you, but I know that I make a modest living. And the way that people, like, fixate on snarking on influencers and whatever, I totally get why, like, the Kardashians would grind your gears and provide you a lot of stuff to talk about. I think that influencers in general, like, tend to lack a lot of tact and class and, like, maybe even, like, I don't know, book smarts or street smarts or whatever. But the way that, like, some girl with, like, 40,000 followers on Instagram will, like, drive people to fucking insanity, and they'll make entire personalities out of talking about them. And it's like, I don't know, like, I feel like this isn't the main offender. Like, you're talking about a bigger issue, and talk about, like, the fucking Kardashians. Talk about somebody who's never going to read it, never going to be impacted by it. Whereas you're talking about somebody who's making, like, 70 grand before taxes, like, uses it all to pay for their New York apartment. Like, I just feel like it's such a, like, not the hill to fight on, because you're not dying on the hill, but not the battle. Pick your battles, you know? Totally. I prefer to talk about people who, like, can really take it and, like, are making enough money that it will never affect them, you know?
Totally.
But some people are like, Eli Rallo is my reason that I can't live. It's like, maybe get a life. Like, I don't know. That's weird to me. That's a weird obsession.
Meanwhile, on TikTok, if the account Hot Roasts Mom likes my comment, I'm like, holy shit, she knows that I'm a fan.
Right. No, I think fandom is great. Like, I think parasocial relationships, whatever, it's like, these people are playing themselves, you know? So get excited about them. Act like you know them. But totally. It's when they get obsessed with, like, I'm going to make an entire Reddit page about this one influencer who has 1 million followers. It's like, really? Like, this is who you're zeroing in on? There are people who are like, Kris Jenner, like, has a fake church to not pay taxes. And, like, really? Like, you know, Remy Bader bugs you that much. Like, that's who you want to talk about? Okay, fine, whatever.
So one thing about me is I do not know influencers. When I met Talia, I didn't know what she was.
Feelings, girl. I was your biggest fucking fan.
You like walked in, you're like, oh my God, it's so good to meet you. I'm like, oh, nice. Who are you? Nice to meet you. What's your name? And you were like,
I did not say, I acted normal. Although and I will say
later,
I was a little surprised.
You told me later that you were like, I was a little shocked you didn't know.
Because we saw each other, not because I think I'm the shit. I just, we've seen each other online. And that's what's weird is when you meet like a mutual in person and it's like, okay, you really don't know who I am. But my favorite thing ever is when people come up to me and it's so, it's very flattering every time when, if someone's, I don't have the guts to go up to anybody in the street and say that I watch them. So if anybody comes up to me, it's really exciting. And they say, fuck, I love you, but I forget your name. And it's like, of course I always like laugh and I don't get mad, but I'm like, I would never go up to anybody and be like, fuck, like, what's your name? You're funny. Like, can you imagine?
No.
Just look it up. But whatever. It's always really exciting. Okay, wait. So you didn't give me, you gave me Ryan Phillippe.
Oh.
What's something that you are absolutely hating right now? You're sick of.
Can I say Travis Kelce or is that too just like obvious? Like, I'm just over like the whole like circus that is. And I'm a, like, I like football, so I've known who Travis Kelce was for a long time.
Right.
And the way that his whole personality has shifted within the last year and a half, it's like, you haven't changed your voice.
He did change his voice. He did that whole, like, I feel like Billie Eilish does that too. And like Ariana Grande, they all these like white celebrities who like develop an accent for a little bit and then they switch out of it. It's like a weird, I don't know, but he's just one of those, like, I'm sick of, I think it's been a while since we've had a male celebrity who was so viral for, yes, he's viral for dating Taylor Swift. We can admit it. He was obviously famous before that, but this really blew him up. But like, he's got charisma. And that's something that I feel like a lot of male celebrities that are like hot these days, they still don't have. Like, I don't know. Timothée Chalamet, like, you couldn't pay me to sit down and watch an interview. Like, I don't give a shit. I'm sorry. Like, he's just kind of boring to me. Whereas this guy, I think people are just psyched that he's like loud, funny, you know, he's like a little bit different, but I'm sick of him. I don't want to hear about him anymore.
Yeah. I'd say that's probably number one at the moment, at least.
Yeah. I don't know. He's like fine. Like, I also don't think he's that hot, but that's just me. I think he's hotter than any of her girlfriends or her boyfriends. Allegedly.
He's definitely not hotter than her alleged girlfriends.
Do you think, no, nobody is, but do you really think that she was possibly bisexual or gay?
I mean, yeah, I think it's very weird to have like your best friend has a long-term boyfriend, but also has a bedroom in your apartment.
Yes.
That's
true.
It.
I just feel like when you're a billionaire, it's not that weird to like, if you're hanging out with your friends a lot, all my friends would have bedrooms in my apartment if I had $1 billion or a couple million.
I guess there's that, but I don't know. I mean, I think it's actually hard for me to like see outside of it because I am gay.
Right.
And I can admit that.
Yeah. You gays think everybody's gay.
It's true. I think everyone's a little gay.
Well, everyone is, in my opinion, it is very much the spectrum. Mm-hmm. Of it. It's a spectrum. Like, nobody's 100% gay or 100% straight. I lean pretty straight, but I think that to say that like she's objectively bi, gay or straight, you can't say that about anybody. Like there's just places where you lean. I think it's feasible that she might have like hooked up with one of these girls at some point, but just,
I mean,
like, do I think that she like had a 10-year relationship? No.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but how can you be around like Cara Delevingne and just not you know what I mean? Like, if you're hanging out with Cara Delevingne, she's probably going to hook up with you. You're probably going to hook up.
She's not my type. None of her girls are my type. I think they're all objectively beautiful, but like people use that argument. Like, they try to convince me like, oh yeah, but like, look at how hot her friends are. Like, of course they were like getting drunk and hooking up together. And it's like, I don't know. I think if I had been in a sorority with more like brunette Jewish girls with like big boobs and big noses, I would have been a lot more bi. Like, I would have been like experimenting a lot more. But because I was in the sorority with like all the Newport Beach, you know, very athletic, blonde, thin girls who I think are beautiful, but not my type. Like, mm-hmm. you're not catching me watching porn with blondes in it. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's like a self-hatred thing from when I used to be blonde, but I am like, if Taylor Swift's best friend was Kat Dennings, I'd be like, I get, she's absolutely fucking her. Like, there's no way that you can be in the same room with this girl and be like having fun, going to parties all the time and not come home and make out a little bit. But when you're telling me it's Karlie Kloss, I'm like, I don't get it, because I'm not attracted to her.
So for me, it's like Hollywood is all just weird theater kids. Like, I think sexuality is so fluid in Hollywood. Like, I really do it. But like, obviously how you market it is just different.
Yeah. Every time I think of an actor, like I start to develop maybe a little crush on an actor, I compare him to a very specific guy who was in my theater program in high school. I won't say his name, but people who are went to my high school who are listening, you absolutely know who I'm talking about. And he was like one of like two straight guys in high school theater. And he was like, he just like thought he was the shit. You know what I mean? And he had this like, the way he kind of sauntered about, I was like, oh, you're so annoying. I hate like the one straight guy in theater who thinks he's cool. And that's what I think of when I see any straight male celebrity now. I'm like, that's what you were. So fuck that. I'm not into you anymore. Anything else? Fine. How's your cats? How's your life? How's your girlfriend?
I'm in a much better headspace than when I first met you.
Yeah, you weren't in a great headspace, but I really was entertained by your chaos, your Kelly chaos.
I mean, do you remember when you brought me to that comedy thing and I got too drunk and then got off the train in a random stop?
Why did we not talk about that shit? That would have been so good. Okay, well, I pull up the voicemails. Let's do that. I took Kelly to something called the Chosen Comedy Festival. Okay, this was the first time they ever had it. It was at a like a pavilion on Coney Island. And it was huge, but it was like all Hasidic Jews from Brooklyn. And the performers were like, there were actually some like pretty, there was the surprise closer was Dave Attell. And that was the night, okay, so Jeff Ross hosted it. And that was the night that Kelly took this picture of me in the car and my boobies were kind of out and I looked cute. So I reposted it. And then I like tagged Jeff Ross in my story. And he liked that post that you posted of me. What a perv.
Dude, I remember when we met him, he did not want to talk to us.
Oh my God. And then
we tried that caviar. I have a video of us eating caviar off our little hand.
I totally forgot that you made us go up to Jeff Ross. You were so fucked up. No, we went to Jeff Ross.
Yeah, and that's the night that you bullied me into watching Sex and the City. You were like, I can't believe you haven't watched it. You gotta watch it. And I texted you like 2 days later. I was like, hey, sorry about the crazy, but Sex and the City's good.
So you liked it, huh?
I loved it.
Which of the four are you?
What do you think I am?
I think you're a cross between a Samantha and a Miranda.
I always feel like I'm Miranda, yeah.
I'm very much a Miranda as well, to a fault. Like, it's kind of bad. I'm always trying to watch, like when, you know, when my Miranda comes out.
It's okay. Everyone needs a Miranda friend.
I think so too, but the only people who ever say that are Miranda friends. Like, all my friends desperately need me to talk sense into them, but I'm the only one who would say that.
That's so true.
Like, I'm Miranda. Like, when my Miranda comes out, I'm like, shit, I have to leave. I'm getting like far too, I'm bringing the vibes down.
One time my friend was like, asking me about a guy and I just went, let her kind of have it. And I said to Blair, I was like, oh, I think she's mad at me. And she's like, maybe she wanted someone to listen, not give their opinion. I was like, what's that like? What's that?
Whoa. Okay. Can't relate. That's I'm loaded.
Like everyone wants my opinions.
Damn. You're talking about someone. Oh yeah. Okay. So Kelly got really fucked up at Coney Island at this comedy show. By like a Jewish friend. I just wanted you to like be introduced to my culture. And we got drunk. Well, you got really drunk. You insisted on meeting Jeff Ross, which was great. And that was a good memory. And then
I made you do that video because I was like, we have to do the Euphoria scene because you were wearing like that plaid dress. And I was like, no, it's going to be so funny.
I remember that.
I remember all of
it. Oh my God. And you were the drunk one. No, you... Alex Edelman was there, the guy who does Just For Us. Mm-hmm. And we've like talked on Instagram once or twice, like on stories or something. So I saw him, waved, whatever, said hello. But he's not the type that I would ask for a photo with because I felt like oh, we kind of know each other, so I'm not going to like do that. And you come up to us and you go, you want a photo? No, it's okay. And he goes, okay, what the fuck? Like, I literally said, no, I don't want a photo. He was like, what? It was kind of embarrassing. Oh, but then, okay, so Jeff Ross, one of my, this isn't a proud thing because anyone with tits can probably get a DM from Jeff Ross, but Jeff Ross responds to the story after, like, I tagged him and he like likes it. And I said, great job tonight, Jeff, with two thumbs up. And he responds, oh, a win for the Jews. As in like me liking him was a win for the Jews. That felt good. Well,
I do remember at one point in the show, someone was like, is anyone here not Jewish? And I raised my hand and only like two other people did. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah, no, that's bad. That's how the stampede starts. We're all going to eat you.
I had a great time. I had so much fun at that comedy show and all the comedians were so funny. And like, everyone was really kind and nice. That's one thing like I remember, everyone just being so friendly and nice and everything.
Oh, thank you. We need that good PR. All right. Wait, but listen.
Hi, Talia. Hi, Jake. I love your show, first of all. You guys are amazing. And I'm calling in because I am a 24-year-old living in New York City. So same city. I feel like you guys can kind of maybe relate to this. But I've been living here now for like just under a year and a half. And I feel like when I first moved, I had a Hinge. I went on so many dates. I met a lot of people organically too. And now I've just hit like such a dating slump. And I've gotten off of Hinge because just a dark hole leading like absolutely nowhere. So removed myself from that, but just thought that I would like take on things organically because I feel like I have a decent track record with that. It has like simply not been working and I want to go on dates. I want to get out there. I want to meet people. Like, what are your best tips and tricks for just like prowling the dating scene from the perspective of not being on the apps? Do I fully invest in like meeting people organically or should I try to get on Raya? I feel like as a 24-year-old who's like attractive, I shouldn't have to pay $20 a month to meet assholes. You feel? Let me know what your thoughts are on dating people in New York City and like some tips where I should find myself on like a Friday night to do so. And yeah. Thank you guys so much. You are two of the funniest people. And if I ever see you in the streets, I will make sure to flag you down and say hello. Have a splendid rest of your day. Okay, bye.
First thing that came up for me, it's, have you seen that TikTok that's Dylan Mulvaney being like, and I found this guy on Hinge who said he's only into trans women. And everyone's like, no, Dylan, no. That's how I feel when you say, should I join Raya? Just don't. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I know someone who met their significant other on Raya.
We do.
So, I mean, invest if you want. But to me, I think dating burnout is really real. And I think, you know, I'm 32, so I'm kind of like out of it. But I do think there is such thing as burnout. And it kind of sounds like that caller may have burnout. And what, maybe get off the apps and focus on something you like to do. Not focus on like trying to date, not focus on trying to do this. I think it's, if you're feeling like dating kind of isn't there, if Hinge isn't there, if dating apps are getting old, you should try something that you like, kind of refresh yourself and then jump back into the dating pool after kind of like not reinventing yourself, but just trying something different.
Amen, girl. I only say we do know someone who met their significant other on Raya. God, that's some celebrity tea I really wish we could say. That is such a cool story. I feel so cool that we have a friend who met someone that they're hooking up with who's like famous and it's
No, we can't say it.
I'm not gonna say. You're crazy. Come on now. I would never forfeit the fact that how cool it is that I have a friend who's hooking up with someone famous. I'm just saying it's like fun.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I shouldn't say don't download Raya. I'm saying that if you are looking to actually go on dates, like downloading Raya, I didn't go on any more dates. Maybe I'm just not hot and you are a girl, anonymous caller, but I think that it's just like, it only increased my fatigue being that everyone, you just keep swiping and it's like another Instagram model who thinks he's too cool to respond to you. And like, it's just like a lot of people who want validation of being on Raya, but they're not there to meet people. I just find it to be not successful for most people, but get on there for fun. I would say yes to everything Kelly said. Don't be afraid to just like, I don't want to encourage drinking, but things on a night out get so much easier when you just lean into like, have a couple shots, be with your friends, get loose. Don't go out on the prowl. Those are never the nights that you meet anybody. It's when you're really having fun with your friends and you get a little buzzed that you just feel that rush of confidence. Like, it's never when people say like, oh yeah, just go out to a bar and meet people, go where the cute guys are. Then you're kind of in the headspace of you're going out for this purpose of meeting people and you don't want to get a little sloppy drunk. And you're so focused on like, oh, is my hair nice? And did I pick out a good outfit in my makeup? And you're so like, you're not even talking to your friends and like coming up with funny little things that you can do and pranks that you can play with each other. You're out looking like your head is on a swivel rather than on like, you're just like focusing on having fun. And I just think the only times I've ever had the confidence to like get a guy's number and actually attracted guys to come and talk to me and it turned into something fruitful was when I was just out like being silly, like the way that you and I were, remember, on St. Patty's Day. Not blackout, maybe don't get like Kelly blackout drunk like at St. Patty's Day at Coney Island, but maybe shoot for like just a little. You're gonna remember everything, but like lean into the power of alcohol. The reason people drink it, if you're open to drinking, is like it gets you a little looser. It's liquid confidence. So have a shot or two and just focus on being with your friends and dare each other, like, hey, I dare you to go tap that guy on the shoulder. And one out of every three times, you're going to end up getting the guy's number. And like, that'll be fun. That's how it's going to happen.
Totally. And I think people are more attracted to that. I mean, if you see a guy standing there with like all of his guy friends and they're all kind of look like on the prowl, like you said, you're not going to be like, ooh, look at them. Right. Like, I'm more attracted to people when they're laughing, having fun, being engaged with people around them, right, rather than like trying to make eyes with someone across the bar.
Exactly. The meeting people in person, I think, only happens when you're not specifically out to meet a member of the opposite sex or whatever you're attracted to. Like, I just think that I have a friend who's hooking up with a guy that she met when she stumbled into a wine bar because her friends all wanted to leave, but she was like waiting for the Uber or something and couldn't get one cheap enough. So she was still kind of drunk, but she went into this wine bar. I wouldn't recommend going places alone if you're drunk, but just she went in there, talked to the bartender, and they ended up like making out. And like now she has like a little hookup with the bartender that she can call whenever. And that's like her new Hinge, is like just meeting bartenders, you know? She gets a little tipsy, she gets a little confident, and she just like lets the night take her. And the cool thing about being drunk is that getting rejected doesn't hurt so bad. And you do get more confident. I'm not saying rely on alcohol or get addicted to alcohol. I'm saying lean into the power of a shot or two and just have fun with your friends.
Now, to be clear, I stopped drinking once in a relationship because there's no way I would have been able to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I also have to say, like, try and go to trivia nights. Try and go to like game nights at bars because everyone's kind of talking to each other. And then after trivia, maybe not everyone, but people hang around. And I'd say like try and find nights like that to go to too.
Amen. And it's not just bars. I met my boyfriend through work. So just, I don't know. Yeah. Don't be constantly looking out and just focus on, this is cliche, but focus on having fun and being yourself everywhere you are. Try to be your most confident self. Do what makes you feel confident. Try to like, if you usually don't look good for work or don't look good getting on the subway or going to the gym, do a little something that makes you feel like extra hot. Like put on a little mascara before you go to the gym, just because you feel like in case you run into a hot guy, you're going to feel better about making eyes with him. Sometimes I'm like sitting on the train. This is before I had a boyfriend. And I like see a hot guy and I wish that I had like brushed my hair, even though I'm just going to the gym. Cause if I had, I would have felt more confident like making eye contact and flirting with him. But because I didn't do that, I felt ugly. And maybe if you just like wake up every morning thinking I could meet someone hot on the train today, you'll just have that confidence of wanting to meet someone hot and they'll come. It's like manifestation.
Yeah, I want to know what like your move was, because as a girl, like it's obviously different because I'm trying to date women. But what I would do is like find a spot at a crowded bar, and girls would come up and be like, "Do you need me to get the bartender's attention?" Because I was friends with the bartender. Because I'm friends with the bartender, and that's how I would like kind of talk to girls.
You're such boyfriend energy.
You
need a lady like me. You need somebody a little louder and stronger than you.
Blair,
excuse me, little lady.
Stronger than me. Blair might be shorter, but she's stronger for sure.
I love the idea of you out there on the prowl for ladies. What was my move? My move was called a scoop neck shirt. That was my move. Can I talk about this fucked up shit? And then I don't want to keep you here longer than like 15 more minutes. So we're going to get to
You're fine. I'm having so much fun.
Me too. I went to a bar the other night. For context, I had fallen outside and I hit my elbow and my knee really bad. I had tripped over one of those little fences around a tree in the East Village.
You're always tripping and stuff.
Dude, I have the worst depth perception. It's crazy. I was dead sober. But that's also how I bumped my head really hard, because I walked into an AC unit. I thought I was going to clear it. Like I thought I was a foot away from it and I walked right into it. I just have bad depth perception. So I thought I wasn't going to walk into this fence, and I was looking right ahead. And I walked into it and I fell really bad.
I'm sorry.
I'm fine. If you can't hear, that's also the problem, is I was listening back to the podcast last week and I just heard myself laughing, which is the thing about recording remotely, is that because I'm talking, I can't hear you laughing. But when you hear me laughing, my fucking guest host is laughing, okay? Assholes. It's not just me. Kelly's laughing hysterically right now. You just can't hear it because I'm talking. Okay. So I fell hard. And I walked into this bar with my friend, and I immediately get like a piece of ice to put on my elbow. And I'm just sitting there like with tears in my eyes, kind of like sad. And I have a frown on and I'm rubbing my red elbow. And this guy chooses this moment to come up to me. This old, like Sir Ian McKellen looking motherfucker comes up to me. Okay. He looks like a ball sack. And he's like, "Hey, honey, I just want to let you know you're beautiful. You have a beautiful face." And I'm like, "Thank you so much. I really needed that because I just fell. And that made my night. Thank you." And he says, "Yeah, you have a beautiful face. You put emphasis on the wrong stuff. It's really clear you're insecure because you're focusing on the wrong shit. You know, you just need to highlight your face, but instead you're showing off all this," meaning my tits were out, "on a Saturday night in the East Village. I'm 25. And I'm like sitting there with tears in my eyes, holding my elbow. And I started laughing. And he goes, "Ha ha, you like that? Like, what's so funny? Am I funny?" And I said, "Yeah, I was just thinking about how you're going to die soon." And he called me a cunt.
Mm.
And he got kicked out of the bar. Anyway.
Is that your move, Talia?
That's my move. Can you believe? He said that to me and then he called me a cunt.
That is wild.
All right. Also, like, whoever's grandpa was out in the East Village the other night, like, come and get him. He wandered out of the retirement home. He, like, what the fuck? I mean, what are you doing? Okay. Where is this microphone? All right.
I'm calling in right now because I'm in a pretty big friend group, like 7 to 10 people. And there's one guy, mostly guys, and there's one guy in the friend group who I used to have a history with, like, multiple times. We would kind of go out and then break up and then kind of go out again, but we never even, like, did anything physical. We just had a really strong connection. And I rejected him over the summer, and since then, we have not, like, hung out alone at all. And I've also began to find him quite insufferable. We have lots of different beliefs. He's loud, he interrupts people, and I just get so irritated every time I'm in the room with him. So my question for you is, what do you do when you're in a friend group and you don't get along with one of the people in the group? Like, I don't want to exclude him when I invite people to hang out, like, at my house, but I also really don't want him to be there. And I just don't know what to do in this situation. I don't think I'm the only person in the group who feels this way, but yeah, some advice would be appreciated. Thanks. Bye.
Thoughts?
I mean, I have big friend groups. I have like a few different big friend groups. And there's always someone who doesn't like who you don't like and become allies with them. You two can hang out outside the friend group. You can bring other people from the friend group out with you. You know, it does suck when it is like, it sounded like 7 people she said are in that group.
Yeah.
That's an odd number. He's the odd duck. You can get him out of there. But honestly, if you feel like whoever that person was mentioning, like, I don't think I'm the only one in the group who dislikes him, talk to that person. If you are a friend group, you should be able to talk about hard stuff. And if you can't, you're not a friend group. You're just like a blanketed group of people who kind of hang out.
I stand by that and I subscribe to that. I think that there's always going to be in big friend groups, you always have to find like a partner, like a direct partner in the mm-hmm. friend group. I heard this saying once that really bothered me, but it's kind of true, which is like, if there's nobody that you can think of in the friend group who you all kind of like don't like, or who you don't like the annoying one, then you're that person. And in college, I couldn't think of anybody else. So I was like, oh, fuck, it's me, isn't it? But now you know it's not you because you don't like this person. I think that in a big friend group, I try to stay away from big friend groups. There's always drama. But that's why you can't rely on 7 people to have your back. You need to get like 2 closer ones and bond with them over this.
Totally. Because in every friend group, there's like a sub friend group in every friend group. Honestly, on Sunday, I removed myself from a group chat that I've been friends with these people for 20 years. But I just didn't feel like I was really like, I wasn't being a good enough friend to them. And we weren't asking each other things. We were like sending memes and joking. And I was like, at this point, I want to like know what's going on. And I want to be able to like tell these people that I've known for 20 years what's going on with me and get a real response back. And like, but I was able to like keep a few of the friends in the group, but it's just like, do you even want to be in this friend group is also a good question to ask yourself.
That's tea about your group chat, Kelly.
They don't really listen to podcasts, so.
Right. Yeah, fuck that. No, you and Shannon are brave with talking about them. I used to be too, but then I became a pussy about it. All right. Well, we gave advice on that one. Let's move on. Oh, this sounds like my cup of tea, just by judging by the title.
This is the one I can listen to, so I'll mute myself.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Let me know when you're playing it.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the pod. And I don't really have an actual question. I just was listening to the episode last week, and I was like, oh, I really want to hear them talk about this thing that I keep talking about, which is like, what do we think about sex and socks? Or socks during sex, like, and specifically like men wearing socks during sex, because like I thought we all hated that, but I keep talking to people about it, and there's a bit more a varied opinion than I expected, and a lot of men are very defensive of the sock thing, and so I'm curious, what's your take? Because I think it's embarrassing, and I guess perhaps what if you were dating someone and you had sex for the first time and they wore their socks, and like you would anticipate to date them again and have sex with them again. Do you tell them about the sock thing? Do you let it go? What's the vibe? Anyway, so curious to hear your take. But yeah, have a good one.
Okay. I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, but I pretty much can only come when I have my socks on. And that's kind of a weird fact about me. But I do have this very vivid memory of when I had a threesome in college. The girl and I, like, we were all getting our clothes back on, and we looked down at the guy, and he was putting back on his shoes, and he put his socks on, and they were like ballerina, like petty socks, the ones that only cover the toes and the heels.
Ugh.
And in that moment, we both looked at each other and we're like, what did we just do? But other than that, it's really to each their own. I say guys with socks on in general, so long as they don't stink up the room like crazy, it doesn't turn me off. I actually really like guys' feet. I've talked about that too, I think. I think guys' feet are hot. But the petty socks are what got me. As for women, it's cute when women wear socks, especially like knee highs and stuff, and no shame in that game. Thoughts?
Yeah, socks have never even been a thought in my head. I mean, with girls, sometimes we'll stay fully clothed and just kind of like undo one button in a zipper and just do what we got to do. So I don't know if I can give advice, because I'm like, you could be fully clothed, you could have your socks on, we could be Nate, like whatever. Like,
right.
As long as we're both comfortable, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I think that it's one of those things, unless the socks stink up the room, mm-hmm. nobody's thinking about socks unless they have like a sensory thing. I like to have socks on, and I think there's a study on this that socks do help you reach an orgasm easier. Yeah, it's a thing. If you think I'm crazy, I'm not. Google it.
I think if they're stinky socks, they gotta go. But otherwise, like, just enjoy sex.
Yeah, it's to each their own. But men should stay away from the ballerina socks, 100%. I'm sorry. That is gross. I just can't believe. To this day, I still think about it sometimes.
I'm never going to stop thinking about it.
I mean, I got these cute new loafers and I had to buy those little socks to go with them. And now I don't even wear the loafers, because every time I put on the socks, I just can't stop thinking about like the thought of him like pointing his toe on the bed naked. Like a grown man pointing his toe and pulling the little sock over his toes.
Well, I think you should wear them to take the power back.
Like reclaim it, like the word bitch or something.
Yeah. Instead of bitch, it'll be little ballerina socks.
Yeah. I should untraumatize myself of that memory and reclaim it.
I have some if you want to take, like, you know. Like, I don't know where I was going with
you
that.
You save those sexy little babies for Blair. Cover up those dogs.
It was okay. Funny the other day, she's like, you have a blister, you need higher socks. I'm like, what do you mean?
Excuse me, bitch.
Then I bought higher socks and I was like, wait, you're right, like I need more than like a little ankle sock.
Cool story, Cal.
Thanks, Talia. I'm so happy to be here.
Okay, I would like to keep talking forever, and I'm down to. The problem is I must poop. So I made the mistake. I think I hit my jewel while we were listening to the question, and I need to go to the bathroom. Mm. So with that, let's leave them with one juicy, juicy piece of alleged gossip. My favorite piece of alleged gossip that I've learned from Kelly's podcast is, jog my memory, give me a celebrity.
Let's go with Justin Bieber.
My favorite piece of goss. Okay, well, I can't think of anything from the pod, but my boyfriend has a fun memory of one time he had a work thing that Justin Bieber showed up at, and they both remarked on like a donut, and he made Justin Bieber laugh about a donut.
Aww.
That's a pretty good anecdote.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay, what's your favorite piece of celebrity tea?
I love that allegedly Aaron Rodgers and Nick Jonas dated.
Damn it! That's such a
good one. It's my favorite one.
Aaron Rodgers is such a freak.
Truly.
It has nothing to do with him being allegedly gay. It has everything to do with, that is like the least weird thing about him. He's crazy.
He is.
No, I think he's going to hell, and it's not because he's gay. Oh, I do like the idea that Shailene Woodley allegedly smells bad.
Oh, yes.
That's what I think
about. I don't even know if it's like alleged. I feel like she like talks about it.
Yeah, I think that's something I learned in a magazine when I was like 9, is that she's like into sunning her vagina and she smells bad. I want to sun my vagina. All right, on that.
I mean, you have the perfect window.
The sun just started shining through. The clouds just parted. I should really get going. All right. On that note, folks, thank you for listening. And I don't want to ever run out of your calls. They're my favorite thing ever. So please give me a call at 929-269-4960. If you're in a different country or if you don't feel like calling, you can always record a voice memo and send it into our email, basictrainingpod@gmail.com. And we will respond to your voicemails. If you have a guest host that you'd like to have on with me, DM me and suggest, and I'd be happy to have them on. But for now, thank you so much, Kelly. And
thank you for having me. This is so fun.
I love you. Thanks for staying a little late, too.
Of course.